Carroll for their extraordinary service and coordination for public safety during the winter storm event of 2008. Fish?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye.
And 94.
Go ahead.
Commend Bureau of Transportation, Portland Streetcar, Oregon Department of Transportation, TriMet, the National Weather Service, Port of Portland, and the Portland Office of Emergency Management for excellent coordination during the winter storm event of 2008. Fish?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. All right. If it's the council's choice, do you want to do the items pulled from the consent agenda?
Let's do those quickly.
Okay. Do you want to read item 98?
98, create a new non-represented classification of chief planner, which is exempt from classified service.
Hi.
Morning.
The council, please state your name and give us a quick overview of what we're looking at here.
Mayor, Commissioners, Anna Canwood, Assistant Director of Bureau of Human Resources. The ordinance before you today is to establish the new classification of chief planner, and establishing the range for that classification. And we understand there have been some questions concerning this ordinance. And so David Reese, the Classification Compensation Manager, is here to provide just some background information on the ordinance. And then I'll discuss the other issue on the controlled class piece.
This is an ordinance that we come to council because when we create a classification, we can't have monies assigned to that, a range assigned to that, unless council approves that. In this case, once it's approved, we have a request from the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to reclassify one of their existing positions, and that would be our intent, provided that the classification is created. There was a second request to us to designate this as a controlled class, and Anna will speak to that in more depth if you need it.
Questions or comments from council?
Could you explain about the control class?
Sure. Through the HR administrative rule that addresses compensation, the Bureau of Human Resources has the ability to designate a classification as a controlled class. And what that means is to compensate the individuals in that classification. In this case, there's only one, but there can be more than one at a rate outside of their range. It's done only for exceptional reasons and done for a limited time period. And in this particular case, I received information from planning concerning the market need for going to a controlled class for the Joe Zender, for the chief planner position, the issues concerning the expertise that was needed, particularly the expertise surrounding the merger. Making all the decisions and the things that need to be done on that, that expertise is required, and a recruitment issue, that this particular person had been offered a position for higher compensation than he's receiving from the city, even with the controlled class. That was the reasons that I approved the control class. And so that is something that council had delegated to the Bureau of Human Resources to assess and then decide whether or not we would approve that. It's, as I said, quite limited. There's been literally probably less than a handful in the last 8 years where we have approved a controlled class.
So, Anna, if I could just I'm trying to think this through in plain English. We have a highly skilled employee at planning that we'd like to retain. This person's been offered a position by another governmental entity, which would involve a modest increase over his current pay. By voting yes today, we would allow the city to, in effect, match or bridge the gap so that we retain someone that we consider to be a highly skilled and valuable employee.
Yeah, basically, correct? We're working towards bridging that gap and retaining the employee precisely.
And it is, from your perspective, this is a prudent and reasonable thing for us to do on an occasional basis to retain highly skilled people?
Absolutely, and particularly in this case, because of the merger of the two bureaus, there are some obviously very complicated and intricate details that have to be worked out. So the expertise is very important to retain here.
Thank you. Other questions or comments?
So I completely support. The ordinance before us is creating this classification, and clearly it's needed because of the reorganization. We have a highly skilled and valued employee that we want to be the chief planner, and I don't have a problem with that at all. What I am interested in, and I request that the council reconsider, is whether we should vote on the creation of a controlled class, that since there are only a few of them, we have significant budget challenges, and this is tens of thousands of dollars, even though it's just for the one employee, that in the future, not on this case, but in the future, we should have a discussion on whether there's value in controlled class decisions coming to council rather than being made by HR, and perhaps over a certain dollar value. But if we, since we've got a classification system that the appropriate compensation is this for the appropriate for the job, and that's what we're creating today, I think there should be more council discussion on going above that on individual cases. And so that was my concern. I'm certainly willing to vote yes on this ordinance. That's the bigger policy question that I'd like some further discussion on.
Okay. So we'll come back with some policy choices on that.
Sure.
Any other discussion by council? Thank you very much.
All right, thanks.
Carla, would you please call the roll? Oh, is there anyone here to testify? Please call the roll.
Fish?
Aye.
Fritz?
Thank you for your response. Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Item number 99.
Create a non-represented classification of Sustainable Stormwater Division Manager, which is exempt from classified service.
David Reese from the Bureau of Human Resources. We've asked council to pull this measure from the consent agenda and to amend it because of an error on our part, which we apologize for. In the title, the section that says which is exempt from classified service was erroneously put into the title. That's the only place it appears. It is appropriate for the other classification that we had going forward this week. So we're asking council to amend this classification so that erroneous information, specifically the words, which is exempt from classified service, is not approved as part of the ordinance as it appears in the title currently.
Do we hear such a motion from council?
Because it's not an exempt position?
It is not an exempt position.
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? Anyone that would like to testify on this amendment? Carla, please call the roll on the amendment.
Fish?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. All right. Any other discussion on this ordinance? Anyone that would like to testify to this ordinance number 99? Carla, please call the roll.
This is a non-emergency.
Non-emergency.
Oh, sorry, this holds over to the next week for consideration. We have pulled item 102.
102, authorize contracts and provide for payment for construction of the Portsmouth Force Main Project, segments 1 and 2, project numbers 9075 and 9039.
Matt.
Good morning. Matt Grum with Commissioner Saltzman's office. I'm here to answer any questions people might have.
Did you pull the item?
I did.
Oh, you pulled the item. Do you have questions?
Well, I pulled the item to highlight the project and the high dollar amount, which is $63 million in two different bids. The folks who were just here from Purchasing and Contracts gave me an excellent briefing last week. And so I asked, why do we have these kinds of items on our agenda? What's the purpose? And I was told that there's two purposes. One, to let citizens know that money is being spent, and when we're spending $63 million, that seems like it appropriate that citizens should know about that. And the second is so that contractors know that these are soon going to be going out to bid. So again, it seemed to me that the more we can be clear that we're going to be bidding out these large contracts and that people might want to be watching their Daily Journal of Commerce to look for those requests for proposal, the better. And so, I'm also wanting to call out that I think it was Commissioner, when you were Commissioner before you were Mayor, that you instituted the process of having the Bureau say what their level of confidence on the cost of the bid would be. So when we as City Commissioners get the ordinances, each one has an attachment that says whether the confidence on the cost is optimal, high, low, whatever, so that we have a sense of whether these contracts are actually going to come in on target, on time, under budget, on budget, or whether there's some concern that they may come back later. So I wanted to point out that this particular price level rating is optimal, which is the best, I assume.
Yes, until so complete.
Complete. So you're completely confident that $63 million is the price tag for these, or whatever it is, the actual dollar amount.
The maximum, absolutely.
So essentially, I'm commending you for doing this well and having these high levels of confidence on such a large amount of taxpayers' money being spent.
I really can't take credit, Commissioner. It's the incredible staff at the Bureau of Environmental Service, the engineers, incredible capital program that we're going to complete this combined sewage overflow program by 2011 on time and under budget.
Well, Matt, later in our agenda, we're going to actually condemn you. So we want to actually, at this point, we want to compliment you and build some good capitals. And since you and I share an office door, I want to make sure that the ledger is even here.
Thank you. Thank you.
Secret office door.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is an emergency item. Is there anyone that would like to testify on item number 102? All right. Unless there's further council discussion, please call the roll.
Fish?
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Emergency item 105.
Mayor, I've asked that this be pulled for a very simple purpose. I fully support, as we all do, the proposed change in our procedures. But we do have some procedures and customs, some of which are written down, some of which are less formal. And they govern how we conduct business. And I think when we're about to make a change, I think it is useful to give the public a little notice and an explanation as to why we think it's good policy. And again, because I fully support this change, I asked the auditor if he could come and just explain it, and then we'd vote on it.
I should read the title into the record first. Item 105, revised council procedures regarding placement of items on the council agenda and order of voting.
Gary Blackmore, City Auditor. Excuse me. The charter assigns the agenda to my office. And I think if you want to know kind of procedures and background, it comes from the fact that the city auditor was the city clerk, from the beginning of 1913 with this charter and carried out the administrative duties of council, which was quite large, included all the financial transactions as well. The reason why the agenda has stayed there, I think, is partly because of the form of government we have, that this is really a council of five almost equally powered commissioners and a mayor. And the power of the agenda was one of those critical aspects that the form of government assigns to the auditor. Excuse me. So my office tries to perform that duty in a fair and consistent manner, and we have worked with council over the years to come up with city code that ensures that the items as they're placed on the agenda are available to all council members to put on there and that the proceedings are done in a fair and equitable manner. So occasionally council members will bring ideas to us that make the order of business a little better. I've heard folklore of that. In the past, a deputy auditor who was angered by a bureau would basically not put those things on the agenda this goes way back to the 50s and earlier, that it was a matter of, doing favors for that deputy auditor in order to get something on the agenda. And I've had moments when I wished
keep it off,
I could.
Maybe.
Yeah, or keep it off. I've had moments when I've felt a punitive measure might be worthwhile, but I haven't done that because we follow the code.
You've shown remarkable restraint.
So we try to follow the rules that council adopts. And what you have before you is changes in the order that items are on the agenda and they're voted on. And essentially, this is breaking the tyranny of the alphabet. As someone who has a name beginning with B, I understand very clearly the burden of having to be prepared all the time immediately to answer questions, and that having to vote first all the time is something that Commissioner Adams, as a commissioner, felt frustration with, and I think he empathized with the newly arriving commissioners and felt like it was more appropriate to rotate the voting order. So what this puts forward is a quarterly change in how the agenda items are put on the agenda among the commissioners so that four times a year we'll rotate from position one, which is Commissioner Fritz, to position two in terms of the first vote. So then it would go to Commissioner Fish to be the first vote and then cycle through that way. So that allows for at least a little more of opportunity for everyone to be the first one to vote. And the mayor gets to vote last. So that's a consistent practice that has carried over. And in terms of order of items on the agenda, the mayor's items would be first, and then the rotation would happen in the same manner for the commissioners and their items that come forward, and the auditor would follow up last.
Thank you very much.
I would just observe that in the Oregon State Senate, they rotate on each vote, roll call vote, and each vote changes order, beginning with the first person that was last, the prior vote. In the Oregon House, it's electronic voting, though they used to do it that way. They do it by electronic voting now. But that, interestingly, that's a commonly, apparently a commonly accepted practice to rotate votes.
When I posed that option to Carla.
made her a little crazy.
I won't say she cried. But she had to restrain from slapping me. So.
Yeah.
This was the compromise.
I think there's a number of benefits that I've reflected on, but two I'll just share with you, Auditor Blackmer. One is that on certain non-controversial items that we deal with, the first person to vote often in their comments sets forth the framework for how the council views that issue, and that we end up sort of associating ourselves with the comment of the first person.
So
Or not. But it gives us a chance to rotate that privilege of putting the first marker down. The other thing I've noticed, and I really want to emphasize this because I think there's a misperception of how we do our business among some people. I can't tell you how many times I've come to a hearing on a contested issue where I had absolutely no idea how the votes were going to come down. None of my colleagues had come to my office and said, we need you on this, or had put a marker down. I literally came prepared, as all my colleagues are on a regular basis, to hear the testimony, deliberate, and then make our best judgment. But that said, the first person who votes often puts down a very powerful marker.
Mm-hmm.
That person is actually helping to shape the way his or her colleagues view that issue. So again, I think there is a benefit in rotating that privilege.
Particularly when reasoning is offered first. I mean, you're hearing a point of view that maybe you hadn't considered before.
Yeah. And so I think it's as much for our benefit as it is for the public's benefit that we do a rotation.
Yeah.
We might also want to consider in the future having a system for speaking during the debate and how we indicate the desire to have a turn to help do that framing, because often there's an extended discussion and, we don't have any button to push to say I'd like a turn or.
No.
That's how Metro does it. They push buttons for order. So we'll.
Actually, I think in the legislature, Commissioner Leonard, don't you have to ask permission of the presiding officer?
Yeah, so actually.
Thank goodness we've moved away from some of those.
Well, you do actually push a button that shows up on the speaker or the president of the Senate's desk, but they get to choose according to their own particular whim.
Who they recognize?
Yeah.
I think the message to the public is that you have a council and an auditor's office who's committed to ongoing improvement in the way we do things, improving transparency and fairness, and I really appreciate this ordinance.
Thank you, Gary.
Anyone signed up to testify on this?
This was pulled from the consent.
Anyone who wishes to testify on item number 105? Unless there's further council discussion, please call the roll.
Fish?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Leonard?
Well, I actually particularly appreciate this change, Mayor Adams, because I think all of the nuances that were spoke to are, well, maybe not important to the public. It is important to us as we do our work here and can, influence how a measure ultimately is decided. So I think this is a particularly thoughtful change, and I appreciate it.
Adams?
I want to thank you, Carla, and Gary and Diane and the entire team for helping us make this happen. Aye. That gets us to the regular agenda, item number 107.
So I'm pleased to bring this important item before the council. I'd like to ask David Olson and others to come up and talk to us about it. What this code amendment will do is add a definition of cable communications utility to the city's existing utilities license fee code. and by agreement with Comcast will ensure that the telephone services provided by Comcast in the City of Portland are subject to the utility license fee, just like other telephone services offered in Portland. We're done with suspending the rules, but I think we all need to do this because we're applauding that increase in tax fairness and also increase in revenue. This settlement will bring additional much-needed resources to the city's general fund at a time when these resources are severely needed. It's estimated at least $600,000 a year, and this is ongoing. This is not one time. The cable office staff have been working with Comcast on this item for a considerable time, and I commend Commissioner Saltzman and previously Commissioner Leonard for setting the direction for the Bureau. It's important to stress the successful conclusion of this matter and the avoidance of litigation and delay through the combined good faith efforts of Comcast, cable office staff, and excellent support from the City Attorney's Office. So thank you all very much. As with the Quest settlement last month, the cable and franchise management with the small but expert staff of the Cable and Franchise Management Office continues to pay dividends to the city in pursuing critical revenues and defending one of the city's major general fund resources, the utility franchise and license fees. And as a minor budget note to my fellow commissioners, we will be bringing forward proposals to continue expanding our revenue-enhancing efforts. And I just wanted to note that as we're bringing this significant income. David?
Thank you, Mayor and Commissioners. I'm David Olson. I'm your Director of the Office of Cable and Franchise Management. Also joining me at the table are Sanford Inouye, Vice President of Government Affairs for Comcast, and Mark Chinchero, Attorney for Comcast. And we're all here at the table to sort of demonstrate to you though, of course, you know, we can be quite aggressive in the office with the folks we work with and regulate. There are times when all of us, many times, and I'd say the majority of the times, come together to work on issues and resolve them cooperatively for everyone. This is a classic example of that. The question of how Comcast's telephone service revenue would be treated and whether it would be subject to the city's ongoing telephone taxation scheme is one that we've been working on and discussing, and today we are very happy to say that has been amicably resolved and, through the real diligence of all parties sitting and working together. And as Commissioner Fritz mentioned, this is substantial, unanticipated additional revenue for the city's general fund at a time when it's sorely needed. I would just conclude briefly by not only saying thank you to Comcast, Commissioner Fritz, and all of you, but also recognizing a key staff on our end, including Ben Walters of the City Attorney's Office, who always provides consistently excellent support for us in these negotiations. Also, our Deputy Director, Mary Beth Henry, and our crack utility staff, Dave Solis and Melvin Riddick, whom you can be confident will be managing this resource on your behalf responsibly. Thank you, and I'll like to turn it over to Comcast for any remarks they may have.
Thank you, David. Mayor Adams, Commissioner Sanford Inouye with Comcast. And we, too, would like to thank David Olson and his staff for their cooperation, in the spirit of cooperation and working together in addressing the issue and coming to the point where we are today. And with your indulgence, I have a brief statement that I'd like to make regarding the proposed amendment that's before you today. As you know, while we had concerns with the initial amendments to the utility code, the compromise amendment before you today provides the city with certainty and, to some extent, regulatory parity for providers of phone service using VoIP technology. And we trust...
Just to say what that means for...
Voice over Internet Protocol technology.
Thank you.
Sorry. Okay. And we trust and we are confident that the utility license code will be administered fairly and equally to all phone providers within the city. Again, thank you very much, and happy to answer any questions you may have. Mark Trinko.
I'm also here just to answer any questions you may have. Mr. Inouye summarized our comments.
So I have one question of Mr. Inouye.
Yes.
I have to ask you if you are any relation to U.S. Senator Daniel Inouye.
Commissioner Leonard, same last name, same neighborhood in Hawaii, but no direct relationship.
Oh, shoot.
Got a bridge when
you How would we know the difference?
But I call him Uncle Dan.
Very nice. As proudly you should.
I want to thank you for being such a good partner and coming to a win-win situation on this. We're very grateful. Thank you very much. Is anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Anyone would like to testify on item number 107? All right, unless there's further council discussion, Carla, will you please call the roll?
A non-emergency will pass to second reading.
Second reading.
So could I just make a comment then, since we're not voting? And that's to remind everybody that the council last year directed that any increased revenue over the budget would be going to transportation maintenance. So this settlement actually does help with some of our backlog of transportation needs, and we greatly appreciate the input to the general fund.
Have we identified how much that is yet?
We're still working on that.
All right. Could you read the second reading of Council Item 108.
Assess property for sidewalk repair by the Bureau of Maintenance.
This is a vote only. Please call the roll.
Fish.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. Passed. We are in recess until next week. Thanks. Give a quick second.